The New York Yankees took 2 out of 3 games from the Seattle Mariners, but it was a bit disappointing that once again, this team couldn't come up with a series sweep. We're going to recap the series, look ahead to the Yankees' final series before the All-Star break, and more on this brand new episode of the Pinstripe Talk podcast, which begins right now.
You are listening to the Pinstripe Talk podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to yet another edition of the Pinstripe Talk podcast, powered to you by Delahanty Media. I'm your host, Nick Delahanty. The West Coast swing got off to a good start for the Yankees as they took 2 out of 3 games against the Seattle Mariners, a team that the Yankees are currently chasing in the wild card race. So it was a good 3-game set. A little disappointing they were unable to come up with the sweep, but nonetheless, they did what they had to do. They went in and they won a series. We talk about it all the time. Chip away. Win series. You know, yes, sweeps are great. You'll definitely take them. But if you can take at least 2 out of 3 or 3 out of 4 in a series, that helps you get in the right direction. This leads the Yankees into Houston, where they'll play a final 3-game set before the All-Star break. The Yankees need the momentum as they need a big second half to get back into the race. On this episode, it's going to be simple. We're going to talk about the Seattle series, break down some of the key components of it, the positives, the negatives, you name it, we're going to talk about it, and much, much more. A little bit of a preview. This week, we have a lot in store for you. Even though we're coming close to the All-Star break, we have 2 more shows before the second half of the year begins. We have a Astros series recap that will come on Monday, and then on Wednesday, we will release our mid-season report card. Yes, and you'll hear me say it in the actual show, which is already recorded for you. I am a teacher. You guys know that. I've said it a bunch of times. I think you're going to see that I'm a bit of a tough grader, especially given some of the Yankees that I was hopeful were going to contribute a lot this year. They've been on the disappointing side of things. So you'll have to check that out on Wednesday, and obviously, you can get all the details about our show by simply hitting that subscribe button on whatever podcasting platform you're listening on. Whether it's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, you name it, the show's there. Make sure you subscribe, get all the latest news and updates regarding the show. And of course, you can follow us on social media at Pinstripe Talk ND on our official page for the Pinstripe Talk podcast and my personal account at Nick Delahanty. See a lot of Carolina Tar Heel stuff going on. It's a busy time in Chapel Hill, but I do definitely tweet about the Yankees as well. And then on Facebook by searching up Pinstripe Talk Podcast. And our official brand, the Delahanty Media brand, is also up there. Make sure you find us on all social media platforms. We're there. Just type in Delahanty Media. You'll be sure to find us. Now, I don't want to waste any more time. Let's jump right into this series, shall we? And the first game of the series really felt like the Bronx Bombers were back. And no, I'm not saying they're back. I'm just saying that it felt like the Bronx Bombers of old. 10 o'clock starts, brutal. I actually trained myself to be ready to stay up. I watched the Red Sox and Angels the night before, stayed up till about 1:30 to make sure I was trained to stay awake. That's how dedicated I am to this craft, people. But nonetheless, the Yankees come out and they left no doubt in this one. They put up 12 runs on 18 hits. You can make the case it was their best offensive performance of the year. 8 of their 9 starters had hits. The only one who didn't was Gary Sanchez, who, although he struck out 3 times, did walk twice and scored 2 runs. So it wasn't like Gary was a complete bystander. He was included in the mix. So like I said, the 12 runs, 18 hits was way too much for the Mariners to overcome. And the Yankees beat up on a familiar face in Justice Sheffield. Remember, Sheffield was acquired in the Andrew Miller trade with Clint Frazier. He was dealt to the Mariners for James Paxton. That deal really didn't work out for either side. Paxton's back with the Mariners. He's out for the year. Sheffield's been one of the worst in baseball this year. But nonetheless, Yankees take advantage. Let's look at some of the standouts. LeMahieu, 3 hits. Judge, 2 hits. Stanton, 3 hits. A career-high 5 hits for Luke Voit. His average went from 186 a couple of days ago to where he's at now. He's closer to 250. What a turnaround. Odor had 2 hits and 3 RBIs, so you had a bunch of contributors. We'll go through scoring. Right away, Giancarlo Stanton hit a laser off the bat. 434 feet. Yankees were up 3-0 before you could even blink. Second inning, a Gary Sanchez walk, followed by a Luke Voit single, made it 6-0. They weren't done there. In the third, you got a LeMahieu single and a Judge double. That made the lead 8-0. They tacked on a run on a Voit infield single in the fifth. Then it got quiet for a little bit. The Mariners added a run in the bottom of the sixth. And then a Rougned Odor, a three-run shot in the top of the eighth inning. And that was your ball game, 12-1. Standout performer on the mound, Jameson Taillon. You can make the case that that was his best start as a New York Yankee. Seven strong innings of work. Only allowed one run on four hits. Struck out nine batters. He was really good. Stuff looked good. Was mixing and matching, keeping them off balance. You know, it was just an overall good performance for him. And you hope that he carries that on into the second half of the year, because that's more of the pitcher that the Yankees thought they were going to get when they made that trade during the offseason. Once Taillon came off the mound, you got a scoreless inning out of Peralta, kind of in mop-up duty. And then the Yankees went to Aroldis Chapman in the ninth to kind of figure out some of his woes. He pitched an inning. He did walk two batters and allowed a hit, but no runs scored. Did strike out the side. Did it in 24 pitches. So, no, it wasn't sharp. There were times where he was a bit shaky, but you have to be confident in that scoreless inning, and you hope that he could build on it moving forward, because let's face it, we're all calling for Chad Green to close or Loaisiga to close until he figures it out, but with the price tag on Chapman and how good he can be and what we saw at the beginning of the year, you have to get this guy back on track for the second half of the year. If the Yankees don't, they're going to be in a lot of trouble, so you gotta get that going. Before we move on to game two, one thing important to note, even though they left 12 guys on base, obviously they had a lot of base traffic, they were 7 for 15 with runners in scoring position, so they were able to get the job done and do some of the little things that were able to get them an offensive lead and really allowed Taillon to settle into the game and not overstress on the mound, was able to go out and do his thing. So a nice first win on the West Coast trip. I feel like the Yankees came in and said, look, we think we're a better team than you, and we're going to come out here and flat out show it. In game two, the Yankees had a little bit of shuffling to do before this. Domingo Germán, who you will see in this ballgame, he had an emergency root canal. Hopefully he's doing all right. But nonetheless, emergency root canal down in Seattle. The Yankees elected to start Nick Nelson on the mound in his place, said that Germán, based on his tolerance, might be available later on in the game. But nobody envisioned that the Yankees would have to go to the bullpen so early. Before they had to do that, the Yankees once again got out to a 3-0 lead. This time, they did it by playing a little bit small ball. You know, the Stanton home run in game one was the big shot. In this one, an RBI single from Voit and then an RBI single from Torres gave them the 3-0 lead. With Nelson on the mound, he absolutely struggled. Did not get out of the first inning. Walked three batters, allowed a run. He just simply wasn't good, and I think Yankee fans are really tired of seeing him. But nonetheless, Luis Sessa comes in and plays hero. Gets out of the first inning in just two pitches, and then goes another three strong innings of work. Allowed just one hit, struck out a batter in the process, just needed 36 pitches overall. He really, and I mean really, saved the Yankees bullpen and did a tremendous job in relief. And then the Yankees went to their original starter in Domingo Germán, who picked up a hold in this one. Aaron Boone mentioned it after the game, and I kind of agreed with him on this one. Germán's stuff was pretty good. Yes, he let up a home run that was the real blemish in his stat line, but he did strike out five, was rather efficient. So I do think it's a positive sign from him, and hopefully he can bring that back into the starting rotation once he's reinserted. Obviously, the Yankees don't plan on this being a long-term solution, but it was nice to see him go out and just let it loose overall. Let's go through the scoring where we left off. Top of the second inning, Aaron Judge hit a two-run homer to left, scoring LeCastro. LeCastro had two doubles in this one. We're going to talk about him in a moment. That made it 5-1. It wasn't until the bottom of the sixth when Murphy hit the three-run homer to cut it to 5-4. That was off of Germán, like we talked about. And then the Yankees bullpen covered the rest. Loaisiga comes in for the eighth. He pitches a scoreless frame. Chad Green in the ninth, same thing. Ball game over. Yankees secure a series victory with the 5-4 win. Important to note, Yankees got off to two really good starts offensively. And the pitcher they faced in Game 2 in Kikuchi is an all-star this year, pitching really well. They were able to get to him early before he was, you know, able to settle down. But nonetheless, the Yankees did enough offensively. Yeah, they were only 3 for 11 with runners in scoring position in this one, but you got the timely hits exactly when you needed them. Some standouts in this game. Judge had the two hits, two runs scored. He hit the home run, like we mentioned. Stanton had a two-hit game. Voit had a multi-hit game as well. Gleyber Torres was 1 for 4. He had the two RBIs. Tim LaCastro, batting in the ninth spot, he had two hits. One of his hits hit a ground ball into center field, hustled out of the box, was able to stretch it to a double. His second at-bat hit the top of the fence, more of a traditional double at that, but you love to see that hustle. Yes, he's not a guy that you portray as a huge hitter in this lineup, but when he contributes, you love that hustle. That's the kind of energy I want to see. And I just hope he can continue that, because I feel like there's so many at-bats for him to have, especially in center field moving forward. And Duhar's a little banged up right now. You have a guy like LaCastro. If he hits, he's going to be a spark plug in this lineup on a regular basis, I would say. So a nice way to at least secure a series victory. It was a late night. Game didn't end until about 1:15 Eastern time. I didn't go to bed until about 2 because I wanted to hear Aaron Boone speak. I don't know why I did that to myself, but nonetheless, I did it. Going into Game 3, which was an afternoon game before the Yankees hit the road to Houston, and it did not go as planned for the Yankees. If I wanted to talk about the offense, it would take me about 10 seconds. They had one hit. They struck out 10 times. They only had two guys left on base. They were 0-for-3 with runners in scoring position. They did nothing. The lone hit came off the bat of Giancarlo Stanton. They got out-dueled by Mariners pitcher Logan Gilbert. Yes, Logan Gilbert, who I didn't know who he was before this start. But nonetheless, the kid pitched a great game, went 7 strong, struck out 8. The Mariners bullpen did the rest. Unfortunately for Jordan Montgomery, once again, he comes out on the losing side of things. It wasn't like the Mariners generated a lot. They only had 5 hits of their own. But they hit 3 home runs that really just set the tone. You had a Seager homer in the bottom of the first. Got to give him a shout-out. That's a Carolina guy. Not that I wanted him to homer against the Yankee, but pretty cool to see what he's been doing in the big leagues over his 10-year career. Then a 2-run homer from Mort in the bottom of the second. That was all the damage that would be done against Jordan Montgomery. And then Mitch Haniger homered in the 8th inning off of Peralta. I thought that LaCastro had a chance at that ball. He jumped about 25 minutes too early. Nonetheless, it wasn't going to matter. The Yankees offense did not do anything in this one. They go on to lose 4-0. And it kind of leaves a bad taste in your mouth, especially given the way that they won the first two games of the series. We keep waiting for that momentum situation to happen where they go in and they just beat up on somebody in a series and they say, you know, we're the better team. But unfortunately, they find a way to lose the final game of the series. They are not good in the final games of sets. They are 10-18 in the final game of a series this year. There's only two teams in the league that have a worse record in those type of games. That's the Diamondbacks and the Pirates. Absolutely atrocious. They got to be better at finishing off series, especially when you win the first two. Go out and win that third game. Figure it out. And this marks the first time in franchise history that the Yankees have been held to one hit or fewer against the Mariners. So, not often that it happens, but you got to give credit to the Mariners pitching staff for the job well done in that one, especially given the way the Yankees hit the ball in the first couple of games of the series. You had guys like Voit and Torres starting to figure it out. Judge with the monstrous home run. There's something about Aaron Judge, Safeco Field, and Ryan Rucco on the call that just go well. Remember that moonshot he hit a couple of years back? Just loves hitting in that ballpark. So, nonetheless, Yankees end up taking 2-3. And to say that I'm not happy with it would be a false statement, because I am happy with the way that the Yankees were able to win 2 out of 3. If they would have won and lost this series, I would have been very upset. But, you know, they won that bulk of the series, and as a fan, you got to be at least encouraged by it. It doesn't tell me anything. You know, I am still in the same mindset that I was a couple of days ago with this team. I'm still not sold that they have a big run in them. I just think that they're a very streaky team, and it's going to come and go. It's a matter of seeing if they could streak positives moving forward, because this is where the schedule is really going to dictate their future. And you have a big series against Houston. There should be a lot of motivation going into this one. They're doing their little cute World Series replica ring giveaway and Altuve jersey giveaways. And, you know, they're making or poking fun at the fact that they won the World Series and it kind of got taken out of the Yankees' hands. So, you know, I wouldn't let that sit right if I was a Yankee, especially if I was on that team. And I want to see some fire out of this group as they come into this series, and I want them to at least take 2 out of 3 heading into the All-Star break. If you go into the break having won 4 of your last 6, that's a good thing. 5 of your 6 is a great thing. It's doable. But go in and do it. Now's the time to prove that you could compete with the better teams in the league, because let's face it, when the break comes over and the Yankees get back into action for the second half of the year, it doesn't get easier. They get the Red Sox, they get the Rays, they got a bulk of their schedule against 2 of their toughest opponents in division. So the Yankees got to figure it out, and that time is now. But a very encouraging week in Seattle. You got to give them credit. They came out, they kind of showed what we thought the Yankees were going to do all year in that first game. Just absolutely mash and take advantage of opposing teams' pitchers, and even against teams' aces, figure out a way to win ball games. So if that's a sign of anything to come, hopefully it's a trend that can continue. The Yankees will head to Houston, like I mentioned. That's a 3-game set. That one starts off on Friday night. It'll be an 8-10 start. Nestor Cortez gets the start against Jake Odorizzi. They'll be without Michael King, who is on the 10-day injured list with a right middle finger contusion. Trust me, I thought they meant Nick Nelson, because Nelson in his start was kind of shaking his hand, but it was Michael King. Hasn't pitched since July 3rd. I was trying to figure out why it took so long to get him on the IL, but nonetheless, he's on the IL. Insert Tyler Wade, who rejoins the team, who was with them as a taxi squad member. Kind of funny how Wade comes back on the active roster and they lose, but I'm not saying he's a jinx or anything. I'm just going to put that out there. So game one will be Cortez, who's been really good of late. I don't expect much length out of him in general, but I do expect the Yankees to try to get at least 3 to 4 innings out of him. That's a big first game for them. Game two, that will be on Saturday night. Gerrit Cole, Zach Greinke. That should be a really good one. Hopefully Cole can figure it out and pitch well against his former team. You know, it'd be really nice to see him get back on track, especially before the break. Most likely won't end up pitching in the All-Star game because he's pitching on Saturday, but I would like to see a nice 7-inning, 1-run start from Cole and get a win. And then Sunday, the final game of the first half of the year will be an afternoon game. Jameson Taillon looks to have another great start. He'll go up against Framber Valdez. That's a 2-10 first pitch, and that game will be nationally televised on TBS. So again, just a recap. It was a good week in Seattle, or 3 days, however you want to call it, but I wanted to see a sweep. That was one thing that after they won game two, I'm saying to myself, look, they have to find a way to win the series as a sweep, but unfortunately, that just did not happen. Go into Houston, take 2 of 3, decisively take 2 out of 3, and go into the All-Star break. A little downtime to refresh and regroup before a strong second half push has to occur. And of course, as that second half push occurs, we're going to be here live giving you some updates on everything going on with the New York Yankees. Make sure you follow us on social media if you missed it. All that information is at the beginning of our show. And whatever podcasting platform you choose to listen to our show, we appreciate it. But hit that subscribe button, rate, and review. So not only are you helping our brand, but you're subscribing, getting all the latest news and updates. And we encourage you to go to DelahantyMedia.com for all the latest news and updates on our great shows that our brand is the proud host of. You have the All About America's Team. That was a great episode, their last one. Those guys were talking about the Dallas Cowboys going on Hard Knocks, and they gave some of their funny moments and exciting moments of their Cowboy fandom, and also got a little heated toward the end of the show when talking about Mike McCarthy. Not a show you want to miss. I listened to it twice. I loved it. They fired me up, and I'm happy that they are aboard, and now they have everything rolling. They're going to be a great duo. Jump on board before their stardom goes viral. Kind of fitting I said star and Cowboys, you know, but that was not intended. But again, we thank you for all your support. The first half's been grueling, but you guys have been tremendous in listening to our show, and we have one more to go before the official All-Star break. Reminder, Astros recap, Monday, midseason report card, Wednesday, and then we get back into the second half of the year. Until next time, I'm your host, Nick Delahanty, and I am the host of the Pinstripe Talk podcast, powered to you by Delahanty Media. Enjoy the weekend, everybody. Let's go Yankees. Beat up on the Astros. And hopefully Monday we have a lot of good things to talk about. We'll see you real soon. Take care, everyone.